And my portion for you today comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And if you're ready for another cup of coffee, you're right in the right place. Hebrews. Oh, boo, that's bad. You can go home now, Rick. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 10. We look at verses 34 through 39. This is going to be a Reader's Digest condensed version, because there's a lot of meat and potatoes in these few verses. But I'm going to read it today out of the New Living Translation. I usually keep the King James because it's what I usually use. But it's really it kind of goes along with what Charlene brought earlier. But it goes like this. Whoever the writer of Hebrews is, sometimes it sounds like it's Paul and sometimes it sounds like it's Peter. And I don't know if anybody in church history really knows for sure, except the Holy Spirit inspired it, and that's good enough. Verse 34, you suffered along with those who were thrown into jail, and when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. That's probably not the church I'm thinking of that would do that. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. Verse 35, so do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. The King James says He will not tarry. So the next time you think the Lord's going to tarry, well, He's not. Everything He does is exactly on time, and you won't have to worry about the Lord tarrying. And my righteous ones will live by faith. Who are the righteous? Those that are in Christ. Amen? God declared you righteous the day you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. So don't let the devil call you anything but who you really are. He'll have a hard time getting it out of his mouth, but one day he's going to. And God said, and my righteous ones will live by faith. Faith is a way of life now, our lifestyle. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. Things that I had gleaned out of this is being able to identify, and that caught my ear because I didn't hear before what Charlena was going to bring, and I always love it how the Holy Spirit seems to knit everything together every week. Whoever wrote this, the King James, used this, verse 34, for you had compassion of me in my bonds. And that's why it made me think of Paul, because he had been in prison several times. But I don't know if it is him or not. And so the New Living Translation says, you suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. Now I think of India because this last trip I took in October, I showed you the photograph of the four that were taken to the police station locally because they preached the gospel to their fellow villagers. And they were beaten almost all night. And one was beaten so bad, his teeth broke right through the side of his face. All of them were beaten right out of his mouth. And when I go there to visit, it's done something on the inside of me. When I go there, I already know now the price that was paid for each of us. And right now, we have a tremendous amount of freedom. There's nobody coming through the doors. There's nobody with AK-47s in the parking lot. None of that stuff is happening here. So we can really be thankful for that. But the part when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. I only experience that when I leave here and I go overseas to some of these really rural places. It's not taken from me. I willingly leave it behind. But I identify with them. That's why I've learned not to sit on the straw mat with my bare feet facing out at anyone. I learned to cross my legs even though my kneecaps are ready to pop. Because, and I don't go there and wear any jewelry. I wear jeans and a t-shirt because the villagers don't have any clothes like anything that we would wear here. But I understand the whole purpose is to get their attention on a level they can relate to, and I have to speak through a translator or an interpreter. But once you have their hearts, you can say so much more. But it takes a lot to get that way sometimes. It takes a lot on our part to get to that part. We want to hurry up, unscrew everybody's heads, pour it in, and screw the head back out the door. You go, you're good. See you next week. It takes a long time sometimes. And you never know what it will take from the Holy Spirit to touch a heart. But we do always want to be aware that He's the one. He's the one that's going to fix things that need fixing. He's the one that's going to change the things that need changing. And we have to be willing to change. But I like this. It's an attitude. It's coming to that place in our walk. I went to jail once, but it wasn't for preaching the gospel. I was drunk and stoned and ran into the back end of a police cruiser in Laconia. And that ended me in jail for a week because I didn't have $100 to get myself bailed out. So I had to sit there and cool my jets, Yogi. Yes, come on, Lorraine, it's okay. I'm not there anymore, thank the Lord. I've been set free. And it's like this. I knew there were better things waiting that will last forever now in my kingdom living. And so do you. You know, a lot of these things that we hold on to, we clutch, that are precious and valuable, what if suddenly they were all gone? What if overnight? Look how fast that flood came this summer. There's still 111 homes that have not yet been replaced, and families are still displaced from that flood in the two counties of Windsor and Windham. 111 homes that were destroyed and they've still not been replaced. Like that. In a matter of seconds, it was gone. And so I always think, enjoy our comforts, but always remember they're temporary. And I think that's where you can tell when you're growing in your faith, when you begin to see things like what this letter is saying. Don't be so attached to the things that we have. There's nothing wrong with having them and enjoying them, because God is a good God and He's provided all the things that we have. But could you make it without them? No, when I go to India, I think about those widows that I was talking about earlier. And sometimes they'll take bamboo and strip it down really thin, and they'll kind of weave it, or they do something to make a cot with, and then those straw mats, they're about a quarter of an inch, and they're very hard to lay on. And I think about the minor discomforts that it takes to go on these trips, but it's become so easy for me to do that. 15 times there. And I'm always looking forward to my nice bed when I get home. But you know, when I never knew when I read that Jesus had talked about go ye into all the world, I never had any idea that these things would ever happen in my life. So I can stand before you very gladly to know what that's like now. And sometimes when I read letters like this in the scriptures, it's to me now, it's a lot easier than before. I was very careless in the beginning. I took off and went for a month into Eastern Europe and left faith with the kids and never even thinking about did I leave enough money behind to provide while I wasn't there, wasn't home. I took off with Jesse's grandfather and off we went and nobody saw us for a month. And that got him in trouble too and his family. And I realized that wasn't the right way to go. And a lot of things changed since then. But it says, so do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. The gentleman that I'm bowling with, that was a former priest, he came to the point where he basically abandoned the priesthood. And yet now, he's beginning to not be so hard on himself. You ever get hard on yourself and you're your own worst critic and if everything is not perfect and exact, you're not happy? Well, he's like that. And I go over there to have a good time because I like the game and the fishing's good. I go over there now and people open the door for me. Does that happen with age? In a bowling alley? And they tell you what lane you're going to bowl on? And they all want to know, how was your week? I hope you have a good week. They're so kind now. I know the atmosphere is not pleasant to the ears. But I made a decision. If that's my mission field while I'm home, I choose not to be offended by what I hear. It doesn't offend me. I grew up as a kid hearing that. The only question I had, did Jesus have a middle name that started with H? Because that's how I grew up. To this day, I don't know who the H is. I don't know if that's a Vermont thing or what, but holy, maybe that could very well be. If it's his middle name, then that's good. Someone should have told my dad. I'm sure he knows by now. Patient endurance is what you need now. How true these words ring, don't they? You know, it seems like everything is rushing to something. But this is God isn't going to tarry. So don't get slack and think, well, he told me in a vision he was going to come back on the 42nd of February. So I got all of January to do what I want to do. Now the word says he will not tarry. There's an appointed time. But right now, patience and endurance, the ability to endure, may get a little bumpy and rough along the way. We're living in some pretty tumultuous times. But you know what? That's all on the outside. We need to guard our hearts that it doesn't get down on the inside. Because there's a whole lot of living for the Lord yet to be lived in our lives. And he's got to be the one that we put all of our trust and our confidence in. Not in ourselves, not in our friends, not in our brothers and sisters. Each one of us has to walk our own walk and be faithful to do what God has called each of us to do. And somehow he makes it all work. I can't imagine being in a sermon if none of us were saved. I wonder how this would go. Do you ever wonder that anymore? I do once in a while. Boy, I'd probably fall down the stairs. That you will continue to do God's will and you'll receive all that he has promised. Because if you read the promises, there's always a condition. Did you ever notice that? You don't even get eternal life unless you believe. To believe is to trust in, to rely on, to depend on completely. No doubt. For in just a little while, the coming one, we know who that is, he will come and not delay. And God said, and my righteous ones will live by faith. I know a few people that are very intellectual, and they try to analyze everything. I've known a person now for maybe 20 years, and they're always trying to figure out Genesis 1, 1 and 2. I don't have a clue. I wasn't here. All I know is if there was a bang, praise the Lord, and everything came into existence that was nothing. And that takes faith to believe that. I don't care if I never understand it. I don't have to understand it. I'm living in it, and so are you. I don't know how God does a lot of things except by his Spirit. And I'm good with that. So we can glean out of this. Probably most of us in the room have known people who thought they'd give Jesus a try. Well, I'll give it a try. Got nothing to lose. And then the challenges begin to come. And they wonder, God, what did I get myself into? And little by little, it's not overnight, they tend to want to go back to where they started from. To this day, I still know people that have. And it's really hard to reach them again. And we have to be really creative and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because he doesn't want to lose them either. So it's important to pray for our friends and loved ones. A lot of them been around us in our families. And some don't want anything to do with us. If we show up and start talking about Jesus, they get really finicky and nervous. We just got to live our faith openly and not be ashamed. It's a life we chose. And they're living the life they chose. But we're here today to let this be an encouragement to you. All of that was a really good word, Charlena, that you brought this morning. And I'm going to continue to do some spiritual checklists along the way to see if I'm living to fulfill that. So that the next time I go fishing, I'll have a kettle full. Jesus called us to be fishers of men. He always knew where the fish were, though. That's the advantage he had that we don't. We got to go out and, your brother knows where the fish are, don't you, Priscilla? Yeah. And he doesn't tell anybody where the fishing hole is either. Well, be of good cheer. The Lord is near. He's present and in the house. Does anybody among us have any prayer needs this morning? Sometimes we don't have any, sometimes we have a few, but we always like to know that there's someone standing with you and believe in the Lord with what you're releasing your faith for. If that's you, I have an invitation for prayer. And if not, we'll have a closing prayer, and we pray for God's safety on the highway, and that's important, especially since the accident less than a half a mile up the road a year or two back when a lady just came across the road and hit a young couple with their children in the car, and their little three-year-old girl was killed in the car seat, in the back seat. And how fast traffic goes. We always have a closing prayer, but I don't know why. We just never thought of, maybe we took it for granted. God's got us covered, and he does. But it's wonderful to ask him and thank him. So let's pray. Oh, Barb?
Speaking about accidents, I always pray when I drive that God will go before me, behind me, above and below, and on both sides of me. I want to cover all the spaces, right?
Yeah.
And was it last week or the week before? I went to get Sue, and we were headed to church, and right there in Escutney, this car, I don't know where it came from, almost pushed me off the road, and thanked the Lord for his protection because it could have been an accident. But Amen. That's why it's important to pray for your safety when you go out.
Yes.
Because God can, twice now, he saved me from really bad accidents.
Yes.
And so this is really important to do.
Yeah. I wonder if the angels go back to heaven to get refreshed and all their feathers are smashed off their wings. You know? keeping us safe, you know, when we're out in our wheels. Oh, that's a bad picture. We had a total of five finches fly into the side of our kitchen window yesterday. Three didn't make it. And two were stunned on the deck for a long time. It was really weird. We have a bird feeder hanging in outside the kitchen window, and the birds will just fly into the glass. Really strange. What's that?
There must have been a hawk behind
them. I don't know what it was, but it was the end of the line for three of them. They aren't watching where they're going. Hint, hint. Father, we thank you today. We're so thankful for you. We thank you for the new life you've given us, a life that's so different than before we were saved, for many of us. We thank you for giving us the precious gift of your Holy Spirit, and we are now the tabernacles not made by hands, but made by you. And your Holy Spirit dwells now in us, the body of Christ. Father, thank you for the words we heard today. May they set well in our spirit. May we bring them to our remembrance, because they're like signs on the highway, and they point us in the right direction, and they help us find our way home. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for bringing us all together. Thank you for those who came for the first time today. And may they hear and may have heard what they came to hear today. Because none of us knows, only the Holy Spirit. But we thank you that they felt loved and welcome and would entertain the thought of coming back again, because the love in this house is real. We couldn't invent it. We couldn't make it. And we couldn't make it happen. It's because of your presence and the love of your Spirit among us. And each week, we look forward to being here, because, Father, you got here first. And we thank you. And as we go our way from here, we thank you that you go before us, as Barbara said, above us, below us, and on both sides. Every which way you could be with us, in us and upon us, we go with the confidence that we will arrive safely at our destination. But we thank you for this precious time of fellowship and worship and praise, time in your word, all the things that we need as believers. And we thank you for nurturing our spirits today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, go where you may.